It freezes after you. Okay. All right. We're going to be looking at lesson 7 here in a minute. Faith is restrictive of the tongue. Okay. Pardon? What? Well, I had to reboot it, so it was slow coming on. If Margie's telling you that, it should be on now. So, okay. Any prayer requests that you have here this morning before we get started? Yeah, Mark. Okay. Others? Oh, I'm supposed to kind of reiterate that for those at home and can't hear you. It's just kind of silent. So we got Jenny's, this will be Allie's daughter, Jenny's, has cancer. Don't know all the details there, but somehow the spine and esophagus are involved. Salvation for Mark's mom, and Unspoken for Allie and Mark, and Spiritual Growth for Michael Paul and Bob Prushak. Okay. Yes, sir.
Continued healing for Margie. She's doing better and trying to wean herself off the painkillers.
Okay. All right, so keep praying for Margie. Continued healing, and as she backs off of the pain pills, that she can handle that. All right. Yes, Mike?
Yeah, continue praying for my son-in-law, James. He's doing a little better, but he still has issues with sores on his throat and his mouth. And also, my grandson, Caleb, they're renting a house in the tree belt pretty low.
Excuse me.
Thankful that Lord has sort of.
Okay. Mike Soto asked for a prayer for his son-in-law, James. After effects of the chemo treatments and radiation, still has sores in his throat and other problems. And also for thankful for his grandson, Caleb. Okay, tree fell on the house, but nobody was injured. So, wow, okay. All right. No, you had one. Yeah, appreciate those who were able to come, be there. Yeah, keep praying for Gail. Hopefully this will kind of get her back in gear and want to be back in church again. This is kind of when it becomes a reality everybody else going back to work, kids going to school, and she's there in the house all by herself. You know, that Dennis being gone's, you know, becomes something she's dealing with. We might also pray for our son, Brad. He's driving today back to South Dakota. Heard on the news today that blizzard warnings and stuff out through Minnesota, and he's got to go right through all that. So, okay, anything else? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have together. We do pray for Jenny as she's found out now she's dealing with cancer. Don't know all the extent of it. Some things that didn't look quite right. Pray that they'll be able to figure that out if that's a part of the where the cancer's at with the spine and esophagus. Give the doctors wisdom as they look at the scans and all and best know how to treat her. Pray that you might use this to draw her to yourself, that she might trust Christ for salvation and that of her family as well. For Mark's mom, pray for her salvation, that she might soon come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We ask that your will might be accomplished there in Allie and Mark's life with this unspoken request, that you'll continue to be working with Michael Paul and Bob Prusak, help them to be looking to you and your word and the decisions that they make. Pray for continued healing there for Margie and as she tries to back off from these pain pills, that she'd be able to handle it without as much medication there. I think of James and the after effects of the chemo and radiation. Pray that these sores in his throat would continue to heal up and he'd be able to eat solid food here soon. And thank you for protection for Caleb and others as this tree fell on the house. And that nobody was hurt. We thank you for your protection there. We do pray for Gail and Sean, Brad, and Michelle, and her brother, Michael, as they deal with the loss of Dennis. We pray that you'd continue to work in their hearts and others that were here last night as we sought to share the gospel with them, that those who don't know the Lord be Holy Spirit be working on them, help them to see their need of their sin and need of a Savior, and trust Christ for salvation. We pray that you might continue to work in Gail's life too, and that you'd help her to see the need to be back in church with her church family. We ask that you guide us in our study now, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so lesson number 7. He's into the R's. Everything's got an R to start with here. So today we're restrictive of the tongue. Got to tame that thing, all right? And we've been looking at what our Sunday school theme for this quarter is: genuine faith. And James, as he writes this, is pointing out the fact that if we really have genuine faith, it ought to be something that can be seen and noticed by other people. And we've seen, he's talked about the need for works to be evident in our lives, not to gain our salvation, but to demonstrate our salvation, that our hearts and lives have been changed. And as a result of that, we seek to do works that the Lord has in mind for us to do. Others would notice that. Others can't see the condition of our heart, but they can see what we do. And so his point here as we look at these verses today is that our tongue ought to give evidence of our salvation as well. And that's something that can get out of control. And we don't have a lot of time to back up to the beginning here, but it was points out in a somewhere, somehow, somebody has weighed the tongue. okay? And it said, but your tongue is between 2 and 2.5 ounces, okay? Now, if you use your math, you got, you take your body weight times the ounces, and 2.5 ounces is a pretty small fraction of your overall weight. And yet, that little member can get us in big trouble, all right? And so the Bible talks about the fact that, you know, our tongue can be used for good or evil. It tells us that there in Proverbs 12:18, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Okay, so our tongue can act like a piercing sword to others, okay? You may have been on the receiving end of that at some point in time, you know? People slice you and dice you, not physically, but with their tongue, they're doing it. And yet, there is a right way to use our tongues. It talks about that also in Proverbs, that apples of gold and settings of silver, you know, it can be something that's helpful to us, can be an encouragement to us. And a verse that you might jot down, and I don't know if that's in your student book or not, but David came across or spoke this there in Psalm 19:14, where he says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." Okay, so now what we're saying as well as what we're thinking, all right? And the thinking's usually, well, normally you'd think the thinking's first and then the speech. Sometimes people get that backwards and they speak first and then they think about what they said. And, ooh, shouldn't have said that, okay? So, but again, it can be used as both a blessing or a curse. And we'll see this as we go along. James chapter 3, if you got your Bibles there. And he says there in James chapter 3, verse 1, he says, "My brethren, be not many masters." And the master here is referring to people that are teachers. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Okay? And so, the Romans were pretty much in charge of what was going on in Israel, physically for the people, materially. But yet people could have a handle and influence people in their minds by being a teacher. And that was something that was desired of many. They wanted to be a teacher. Unfortunately, sometimes those who want to be a teacher are not the best teachers, okay? Maybe they have wrong motives for what they're wanting to teach. Some people use deception and confusion rather than education and clarification. We see that even today, you know, in our schools. Until COVID came along and they started doing things virtually, a lot of the parents didn't know what in the world their kids were teaching, being taught. You find out it's CRT and gender fluidity and all kinds of other stuff. You know, whatever happened to reading, writing, and arithmetic? That's something you might need, okay, down the road. But yeah, so, but he's saying, teachers, you're going to be held to a higher standard because you're influencing other people. And he says, you're going to receive a greater condemnation or judgment, you know, God. And so as a teacher, you need to set up and pay attention, be careful what you're teaching, because one of these days you're going to have to answer for it, good, bad, or otherwise. Now there's good teaching, okay, and he says this in verse 2. He says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is perfect man and is able to bridle the whole body." And so he warns the readers, and, you know, Paul has emphasized you know, kind of focused in on the works side of things there in Ephesians, that we're not saved by works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. But we are, there's certain works that God has in mind for us to do there in verse 10. But he says also we're going to have to stand before the Lord and give an account. He says in James, this is in your notes, but in James, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians, okay, we're in James, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So the things that we've done in our bodies, okay, the works that we've done, whether it was good, bad, whether we're doing it for the Lord or we're doing it for self. Well, James saying, you know, we also need to be thinking about the words that we use. We're going to be held accountable for those as well, because our words do have an impact on people. We are able to influence people, and it may change a person's life. It may be used for good, or it may be used for evil. And that's why so many that are trying to bring some of this garbage into our schools, they're trying to influence the kids when they're little, they're impressionable, they're going to believe what the teacher tells them. You know, we thought we'd made some headway in race relationships and stuff, but it looks like they're trying to turn that back around. We're going to be held accountable for the kind of influence that we have on others. And that's not just for a Sunday school teacher or a school teacher, but we're really, in a sense, we're all teachers. You know, whether it's our kids, our grandkids, other individuals that we talk to. I don't know, can you think of, has there been a teacher somewhere along the line that was, you felt was influential in your life? Something you could point to and say they had an impact on my life? Mark?
Charles Spurgeon.
Okay. You don't look that old to be upset underneath his teaching. I'm just teasing you. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Kathy?
Adrian Rogers is, at first his accent put me off, but then, you know, as I kept listening, I got past that, and I just love his teaching. It's just very practical, to the point.
Okay. Is it you all, or what? Is it the you all, or? Yeah, okay. Man, I was going to say something there. I don't know too much about it, but somebody had said after he's passed away, there's a new pastor in there, and things are 180 degrees different than what it was when he was there. But
you mean the denomination?
Well, just the church itself, yeah. So, okay. Yeah, and I think back of some of the Sunday school teachers that I had growing up, and you know, the people that I looked up to and were influential in my life. One couple in particular, they both were Sunday school teachers, but you know, I find out later that they were the ones that were kind of footing the bill for me to be able to go to camp every year. You know, they didn't have any kids of their own, but they kind of took me on as a project. I knew my mom and dad didn't have much money, and so they'd pay my way to camp year after year, you know, and being at camp has a real positive impact on not just camp, but our church camp that we went to. So, yeah, we can influence other people, and the point is we need to be doing it in a right way, and we see here that we need to manage the tongue, and as he talks about here, that the tongue, if we get that thing under control, you know, it can bridle it. It provides the direction for the rest of the body. And that continues on as you look there in verse 3. He says, "Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body." Okay, so you got a, I don't know what it is, 1,000, 2,000 pound horse, and you put this little piece of metal in their mouth with reins attached, and if they cooperate a little bit, you could go left, right, or whatever, and provide some direction for it. You know, it's a small thing, but it directs the whole body. And the point is, we need to put a bridle on our tongue because that's going to direct us, you know. And you get, again, we're all going to be held accountable for what we say, you know, even the idle words. And it's, again, every believer, not just those who teach, need to have control of their tongue. And it's a controlling influence. We see here also, he gives another example in verse 4. He says, "Behold, also the ships, though they be great, are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm or rudder, whithersoever the governor listeth." Okay, so, you know, they didn't have the big ships then as they do today. And I'm kind of curious, I looked that up just to see, okay, let's say we got an aircraft carrier. And the thing is 1,000 feet long, okay? It's over 3 football fields long. What does it take to turn that, all right? And the example that they gave said that there's actually 2 rudders on that ship. And the rudder was 29 feet tall and 22 feet wide. I mean, that's, you kind of lay down into this room. But you think it's guiding, it's directing something that's 1,000 feet long, you know? And, you know, it's rather amazing. And if you've been out in a little boat, you know, and you got the motor on the back end, you know, it's this little bitty shaft that's going down that directs the direction of the boat. Well, it's kind of the same thing with the tongue, you know. That thing needs to be controlled because it's going to control the rest of the body. And you find that out. Maybe I'm thinking about maybe it's in school, kids growing up. You know, sometimes little kids got a big mouth, you know. It's out of control. And today, well, let's say they can say things today that we'd have got our mouth washed out with soap or sent to the principal's office or something. Nowadays, nothing's done. You know, you got to kind of take it on the chin, and at least in some of the schools. And so, but the rest of the body, you know, if their mouth's getting them into trouble, the body's going to follow it, all right? And sometimes they end up in the wrong group of kids and so on. But so it's really important that tongue is brought under control. And he points out, too, the damage that it can do. Even though it's a little thing, it can bring about disaster. Look at there in verse 5 and 6. He says, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Okay, so does it take much of a flame to get a fire going? Do you really need a flamethrower and a can of gas to get the thing going? No. You know, somebody dropping a match or flicking out a cigarette out the window, you know, and you can end up with a forest fire. It doesn't take much. Or you don't put the campfire out and a little breeze comes along, fires it up, it starts blowing around, and so it doesn't take much to cause a considerable amount of destruction. We see this as we look on into verse 6. He says, "The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. So he says, you know, your mouth, your tongue, your speech, it's just, it's just a little member, but it can defile the whole body. And though we're not supposed to pigeonhole people, you know, we don't show preference or racism, whatever, you know, race, color, creed, all that sort of thing. What about the way people talk? This has been a few weeks ago now, but I think kids are off school. I can't remember all the details now. But we ended up going to Culver's, okay? Not against Culver's, but it's over in Greenfield. It's just down the hill from the high school. And we'll never go there again at 3 o'clock, but that's when we end up, when the school's out. All these kids come in, all right? Some of them are, it's just a place to hang out. You know, the weather was cruddy outside, and so I don't know if that caused more of them to come in or not. But there were, I don't know, 4 or 5 girls in the next booth from us. Man, the way they talked, it was horrible. Their language, you know, this is some high school girls. You know, you eat with that mouth, you know? I mean, I went to go get refills or something, and Maureen, little quiet Maureen, never says nothing to anybody. She said something to them, you know? It's because, you know, we got our grandkids sitting here, and they're foul language, you know? And another one of the gals came around that's wiping off tables, picking up stuff. We knew her when she used to work at Burger King, and I said something to her. And so she talked to them. She said, this is not the first time we've had talk to these gals, you know? But they're buying food, so it's kind of hard for them to throw them out, but it's just like, you know, they're just really foul. And this, they're talking to other girls and guys, and man, you know, maybe it's just an eye opener. Maybe it's been like that for quite some time or not, but I'm just was a bit shocked at the kind of language that they used, and didn't have a real high opinion of them after that. You know, they didn't do anything necessarily wrong for what, I mean, they weren't throwing food or whatever, but just their speech. And they were, you know, and it's just loud enough to hear it over into the next booth. And again, defiles the whole body, you know, you know, and you stop and think, you know, do we want people to think that much less of us? Maybe because the way that we talk. You know, does our language change? Do we talk one way in church and something else at home or something else at work? You know, because sometimes, you know, we can put our holy hat on, we come into church and behave ourselves, but we're something else somewhere else. And I bring this up because this is when we were in Minnesota, and I've told this story before, but you haven't heard it today. But there was a big meat packing plant in town, and I was got talking to somebody, and I said, "Oh yeah, we got somebody in our church that works there." And he said, "Oh yeah, what's his name?" So I told him. He says, "He goes to church. He was an inspector." So I never thought that the way he cusses and screams and yells and carries on at work. Never thought he'd ever go to a church. Wow, never going to bring that one up again, you know. Now, he behaved himself in church and never really got out of hand verbally, but I thought, you know, it's kind of this Jekyll Hyde thing, you know, we're one guy at work and we're something else at church. And again, Lord knows that. And one of these days, we're going to have to answer for it. Now, he didn't have to answer to me for it, but he's going to have to answer to the Lord for it. And there was always some doubt as to his salvation. It's not just the unsaved sometimes that talk that way. Even the kind of jokes that we tell or or laugh at or hang around people that are swapping stories. He says it can act like a poison. Look on into verse 7. He says, every kind of beast and bird and of serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. It says you can tame all kinds of animals. You've been to the circus or whatever, and maybe they're using a chair and a whip, but, you know, the lions do what they want them to do, and the elephants and all the rest of it. You can train them to a certain extent, but he says the tongue, that's beyond our control. Well, if it's something we can't control, what's the solution? How do we deal with it? As a believer, we need to realize that Satan's going to use every tool he can. He can't take away our salvation, but he can sure throw some cold water or something else onto our testimony so that nobody believes what we have to say. And the devil, one of his titles or names is slanderer. He slanders people. And we have to be careful that we don't do the same thing, you know, because that's the sort of thing he wants us to do, or to lie. See, we have a new nature, but remember the old nature is still in there. We still have the capability of sinning, and we can sin with our mouth, either in the tone we use, how loud we are, whether and what we say, and what we're trying to accomplish. Like I said, you've probably come across people that, you know, can just kind of cut you to ribbons and never lay a finger on you, but you walk away feeling like somebody skewered you, you know? And he says, though we can't tame it, it's unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now, we may not be able to, we're not physically poisoning somebody, but we can poison other people towards us or towards another person by what we say about them. We can influence others to think less of other people through, again, slander, gossip, whatever. And we have to really be alert to that. We can ruin a person's reputation. It's like today, you know, yeah, everybody's suing somebody, okay? But it's not just what you do, but even what you say. And you can make an accusation to somebody, and that makes the front page of the newspaper, all right? And, 3 days later, they retract it, but it's on page 15, and nobody ever sees the retraction. And so everybody, you're tainted because somebody made this accusation, right, wrong. Maybe they just, you know, you made them mad, and so we're gonna fix their wagon. We're gonna say this about them, you know, totally untrue. But other people don't know, you know. I didn't think that, but you know, they said it. You know, maybe there's some truth to it. Maybe there's something we don't know about, and so we have to be, you know, careful about that, because again, we can really ruin other people just in saying things that will impact their life for a lifetime. He goes on here and he says, verse 9, he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Okay? So he's saying, we ought not to be using the same tongue to praise the Lord, you know, and yet be cursing other people. All right? He says, we ought not to have that... We ought not to be doing those two opposite things. with the same tongue. He says there in verse 11, doth a fountain send forth in the same place sweet water and bitter, or good water and salt water? You know, you don't get that out of a fountain. And so it ought not to be true of our tongue either. And then he gives another example there in verse 12. He says, can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Okay, so one olives tree can't produce figs, and fig trees can't produce olives, you know. They're one or the other, okay? And thing is, that ought to be true of our tongue. If we're using our tongues to praise the Lord, bless the Lord, say good things about God, use it to share the gospel with people, we need to be real careful that we're not turning around and using that against other people, okay? And again, all these are, it's possible for us, you know? All we have to do is get mad and angry. And sometimes our tongues let loose and we say things that later maybe we wish that we hadn't said. But, you know, it's hard to pull those words back. You know, you can apologize for them and you can ask for forgiveness for them, but it still rattles around in people's heads, you know? So he says, you know, we're going to need help. We don't have the power ourselves, because we can't tame it in and of ourselves. The Lord's got to help us, all right? And he says there in verse 13, who is a wise man endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of the good conversation, not just his speech, but his life, his works with meekness of wisdom. Thing is, you know, we're going to need the Holy Spirit's help to tame the tongue. It's going to take divine intervention, if you will, to help us to discipline the tongue, so that we have a single use tongue. I'm not much of a cook, so I'm having trouble coming up with it. But there might be some tool in your kitchen that you just use for one thing, and you don't cross it over to something else. Don't you have to be kind of careful with raw chicken, that sort of thing? And maybe you have a wooden cutting board. Well, you don't want to be cutting up your raw chicken with that and then turn around and use that same cutting board to chop up your vegetables or something else. You're liable to give yourself some kind of poisoning of some kind. Well, again, we ought to have a single-use tongue to praise the Lord for it, with it, but then also to use it in the right way towards other people. And, God has given us the tongue. You know, it's... Maybe this is not a good illustration. Maybe it's a little bit like the internet. It can be something that is really good and can be really helpful. You can find a lot of information. You can find spiritual encouragement, all kinds of different things. It's, you know, right there at your disposal, okay? But it can also be used in a bad way, you know? And the same thing with the tongue. And God wants us, he's given us that tongue, not for evil, but for good. And he wants us to be able to, you know, as we went back to verse 1, he was talking about teachers. He wants us to use our tongue for good, to teach other people about God's word. And so we can equip other people who in turn will be able to equip others. You know, we try to help people understand the word of God. But yet we're going to have to rely on the Holy Spirit to help us to teach it accurately, truthfully, to be responsible in how we teach. And secondly, here he also mentions the fact that use of our tongue for edification, to build up, to encourage people. Like I said, we may get beaten down throughout the week by the world and some of the people that we work with, but that ought not to ever happen inside the church. This ought to be a place where we're built up and encouraged, and we come in, we're encouraged, but we in turn are encouraging other people. If we're not doing that, and we're using it in a wrong way, it can grieve the Spirit. Makes God sad, you know? But we need, again, the Holy Spirit to help us. And thirdly, again, the Holy Spirit, one of his titles is Spirit of Truth. He teaches the truth. He helps us to understand God's word. But he also wants us to speak the truth. And if we had more time, our time's about gone here, but he was talking to the Ephesian believers, and he wasn't just warning them not to lie. He tells them to stop lying, okay? They were lying and don't know all the details there. But again, that can, we're still capable of that. And I haven't heard people use that term, but I think we probably have all heard it somewhere along. Oh, well, that was just a little white lie, you know, some little lie that wasn't all that bad. What do you think? Does God have good, bad, and best lies, you know? Worse, worse, and worser, worstest lies? No, and so we have to be, and so we, sometimes you're put in a difficult spot, you know, and you don't want to lie, and yet you know the truth. If you tell them the truth, it's going to be hurtful. And so you're trying to split the difference in there somewhere. I'm going to get in trouble on this one, but they use this as an example. The wife asks her husband, "How does this dress look? Does it make me look fat?" or oh, look at this beautiful baby. And they say, the politicians, they say, "Oh, it's a baby." they don't crawl out onto that limb, you know, and say something that it isn't, all right? But we have to be careful that we don't start stretching the truth, even though we think maybe we're protecting somebody along the way. But again, think about, okay, how we're using the tongue. If we're going to use it to bless God, we have to be careful that we don't use it on the flip side for others. No man can tame it, okay? It's an unruly evil. But with the Holy Spirit's help, he can help us. And one of the things that might help us to, you know, we can't fix what we don't know is broke, right? And maybe we just have to look at our own hearts and lives and saying, okay, in what ways or in what situations do I find myself maybe not using the tongue in the right sort of way, okay? And maybe it's not even heard by others, okay? Maybe you're talking to yourself or in your car and somebody cuts you off and you're mad at them or whatever. Sooner or later, we're going to probably start talking that way to other people, even though then to maybe nobody heard us the first time. But think about, okay, what's the wrong use? And then if we recognize it, ask the Lord to forgive us and to help us to make the necessary changes in our habits, our behaviors. Again, if we know this is a weak spot for us, then okay, and we can ask the Lord specifically to help us in that particular area. Do you have a comment or question?
You know, I always remember on this subject, I remember a teacher over the years saying, and it kind of gets scriptural out of the word too, that you can be thinking really good about someone, and good thoughts about someone, and then someone can come in and give you just a little evil report or something about that person. And then your heart and your eye is darkened towards that person. And you have a hard time receiving from that person because it darkens your thinking in your heart.
Right. Or somebody says something bad, and you think that's bad. Guess what I heard, you know? And we pile on. Yeah, okay. Anybody else have a question or comment? All right, going to let you out early here. Sooner or later, we'll crawl up there and change that, but we're an hour off so far. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Maybe this portion of Scripture kind of hits us between the eyes at some point along the way. Help us not to just kind of cover it up and say, oh, well, nobody's perfect, and go on our merry way, but to recognize if we are using the tongue in the wrong sort of way, that we recognize it, admit, seek your forgiveness, and ask for the Holy Spirit to help us to make a better use of our tongue and to guide us in what we say as well as what we think. We thank you for your help now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you. I forgot to, I'm pretty good at forgetting here lately about mentioning Fellowship Sunday. This is it, so I'm not sure if anybody brought anything in. I think there's still some of Sandy's cake down there. There's cut those pieces in halves again or something.